On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 82, you're going to hop in a guitar string-shaped time machine, you're going to get to know an Acoustic Tuesday artist a little bit better, and you're going to participate in the most important guitar lesson of your entire guitar journey. So grab your cheese curds, your venison jerky, a glass of cold milk, because we're headed to America's Dairyland, and you're going to find out why here in a second. All that and more right after this. If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 82. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week, things you should know about, and we're going to kick things off with something you should learn. In fact, what I'm going to jump into right now is truly the most important guitar lesson you will ever experience. And I'm saying this not because of the content of the lesson, but because of what it reveals about the guitar. And what I'm going to be talking about specifically is closed position licks, chords, scales, you name it. If it has the words closed position in front of it, it should set off a little guitar geek radar in your mind. Now, if you don't know what closed position is, don't worry, because what I'm about to do is I'm going to teach you a guitar lick. It's actually kind of a baseline thing. And then I'll define what closed position is, and more importantly, why it's so important to you and how it can unlock the entire fretboard. So, what I'm going to teach you right now is how to play the blues with one lick, a full 12-bar blues with one lick. So we're going to spend our time learning this lick, and then I'm going to show you how to move it around to accomplish the 12-bar blues, and then we'll get into that definition, the all-important closed position definition. So here is the lick. We're going to start with your index finger on the fifth fret of the low E string. One single note there, just a downstroke with the pick. Then your ring finger is going to drop to the seventh fret of the D string. One single stroke there. Index finger drops to the fifth fret of the D string. One single stroke there. And then your ring finger pops up to the seventh fret of the A string. One single stroke there. That's the lick. That's it. It's all on quarter notes, so it's counted 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm going to go ahead and count with it just so you can kind of get a feel for what it sounds like all together. Here goes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the lick. It probably sounds familiar to you because it's used in a lot of blues songs as the bass line, but we can borrow from the bass every now and again. It's totally okay. So that's the lick. Now, the beautiful thing is that it's totally movable, right? We're playing it starting on the fifth fret, low E string. But I'm also going to have you move it to the fifth fret of the A string, okay? Same exact lick, same spacing, same pick direction, even the same fretting finger choice. Start on the fifth fret of the A string, drop to the seventh of the G, fifth of the G, and then seventh of the D. Cool. Now we're gonna actually bump it up two frets. Still starting on the A string, but this time the seventh fret. Seventh fret of the A, ninth fret of the G, seventh fret of the G, ninth fret of the D. So you got three positions, the first, the second, and then the third. All right, those are the pieces I want you to arrange for 12-bar blues. You'll play that first chunk starting on the low E string fifth fret four times. You'll play that second chunk starting on the fifth fret of the A string two times. Go back to the low E string chunk, the first chunk, two more times. Then the third chunk one time, second chunk one time, and then back to that first chunk for two times. It's a full 12-bar blues. I'm going to play it really fast here just so you can get a sense of the whole entire sequence. Here we go. The idea, it probably sounds familiar to you. Now, that's all well and good, but there's a much larger lesson that we need to shed a little bit of light on here, and that is the beautiful, amazing thing that closed position licks, chords, scales offer. The amazing thing that closed position is. Well, what is closed position? Closed position means that there are no open strings involved. So, you can see I'm fretting everything on this particular example. That's closed position, meaning, again, no open strings. Well, why is this so important, and why am I spending the time telling you about closed position? Well, when something is in a closed position, meaning, again, there's no open strings, it's completely movable, as you saw with this lick. So, physically, you learn it once, and then you can move it anywhere on the guitar neck to whatever key you want to access, to whatever musical situation it fits in. Okay? Well, how do you move it? How do you know where to move it? Well, everything that is closed position has a root, meaning the note that names the lick, scale, or chord. If you know what that root is, and when you move it, and you move it to a specific key or something like that, you can then take one lick and play it in any key. Let me just give you a quick example, and then I'll show you where to get the full version of this lesson. So, let's say I'm on the 5th fret. Well, the root is on the low E string. Under my index finger, that's an A note, so this will work in the key of A, or over an A chord. If I move it down 2 frets towards the headstock, that's a G note. So, lo and behold, that lick now becomes useful in the key of G, or over a G chord. And if I go 2 more frets down towards the headstock, that's an F note, and that lick now becomes useful over an F chord or in the key of F. And that's true for wherever you position that root. So this lesson is more than the 12-bar blues. Yes, the 12-bar blues is super cool, and I wanted to share it with you, and I get super excited about it, but I get even more excited about showing you how powerful closed position things are. Closed position means no open strings. Closed positions mean you can move it anywhere on the guitar neck. Closed positions mean you can use that lick in any key, in any musical situation. So, to get the full version of this lesson, I know I kind of went really quick. To get the full version of this lesson, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT82. You'll get the show notes for the entire Acoustic Tuesday show and a more in-depth version of this very lesson. Now, speaking of this lesson, I do want you to know that this lesson was brought to you by Tony's Acoustic Challenge. It's an acoustic guitar program like you've never seen before. Please visit tonysacousticchallenge.com to see how it can take your playing to the next level. It's all about progress. It's all about fun. It's all about a fulfilling guitar journey. So again, please visit tonysacousticchallenge.com and don't hesitate to request your invite today. Now, another important order of business that we have to kick off the Acoustic Tuesday show with is, of course, Guitar Geek Trivia. So, here is your Guitar Geek Trivia question for the day. In what year was the Gibson Dove first manufactured? Was it A, 1960, B, 1962, C, 1967, or D, 1973? I want you to go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, as I'm adjusting here, I, of course, want to introduce you to the person behind the scenes, the person focusing the cameras, the person typing on the keyboard, the person changing cameras and troubleshooting, and that, of course, is none other than Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr. the First.
Tony, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I am so happy to be here today. And Noah,
yes.
How was your weekend, just to kick things off?
Man, I had a great, great weekend.
You did?
My weekend is just full of small wins, so I'm not going to divulge too much now, but later on.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I'm excited to hear your small wins.
Yes.
Because I have a couple to share myself.
Well, some of my...
I feel like some of them are almost as if two puzzle pieces joined.
There you go.
I feel like they mesh.
Right. Almost like as if they're the same small win.
Kind of like peanut butter and jelly.
And peas and carrots.
Or like cheese curds, venison sticks, and a cold glass of milk.
In the Midwest.
And a meat raffle.
Okay.
Well, I feel good because I feel much like Clark Kent. I transformed a little bit. And it feels refreshing to be able to play the guitar in my favorite stool and then come back and just as if an act of magic occurred,
right.
Be back home at my desk,
yes,
my Acoustic Tuesday desk.
It was
official
fun.
Home base.
I too was excited about this, about that. Yeah.
Well, the beautiful thing is this desk adjusts. I'm scared of pressing any button right now for fear that it might just totally throw this whole thing out of the smoothness zone that it has entered.
Yeah.
But, Noah.
Yes.
I do want to share with the Acoustic Tuesday viewers some of the items that arrived in the mailbag.
Ooh, okay.
Items plural. One's one arrived in a guitar-shaped box, which we'll get to here in a second. But the first thing that arrived And Noah is really responsible for this because he saw a comment from one of our Acoustic Tuesday viewers, right?
Yes.
And the viewer said, hey, you guys are coffee lovers. You should check out Black Rifle Coffee Company. So Noah was like, well, okay, we love coffee, so let's order some. So we got our first order of Black Rifle Coffee Company coffee in. We got Blackbeard's Delight, which we enjoyed this morning. I absolutely slugged my coffee this morning, so I am full octane right now. Love the logo on this. It's a little skeleton man with a spear poking a heart. Well, that's pretty cool. Next up, we've got the the Strength and Stamina. Oh, the Fit to Fight blend. Had that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we also got, this one might be hard for me to read, Murdered Out blend. It's kind of hard for me to read because it's phased out. But cool thing about this coffee company is that it's veteran-owned and operated. So it kind of is a cool little nod to the Guitars for Vets veteran connection, and we were happy to drink this. It's quite delicious, actually. I'm pretty pleased with it.
I got the email. So it comes from Andrew S.
Oh, cool.
And he just said, I was really happy to hear about your Guitars for Vets program. There's a coffee company in Texas called Black Rifle Coffee Company. It's veteran-owned by Evan Hafer, and he is a retired special forces and employs other vets.
Way cool.
I thought they might be a good company to show on your program. I realize they aren't guitar related, but I know you guys, you know, support Guitars for Vets, so thought I would throw it out there. Good coffee, and good coffee goes with some good guitar playing as much as good bourbon.
Accurate statement.
Anyway, just thought with your Guitars for Vets program and them being a vet-owned company, it might be a good thing. Check them out. And so we did.
Awesome. Well, Noah, thanks for ordering. Andrew, thanks for the recommendation. And Black Rifle Coffee Company, thanks for making a hell of a good bean. Pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Now, something else did arrive in the mailbag. I can't really divulge what it is because I wanted to play a game with the Acoustic Tuesday viewing audience. So I'm going to show you a picture of a hint. And once you see this picture, I want you to place in the comments what you think arrived. Now, I want you to take a careful look at this UPS label. I can guarantee you that the clue is on there. So take a look. And in the comments below, maybe you can just guess and take a stab at what may have arrived late last week, because it will be featured on an upcoming Acoustic Tuesday episode. And that's it for the mailbag, unless, Noah, you received something that I am just unaware of.
No. No, I've got, there's a lot of things rolling in my brain right now.
I know.
Because there's a lot of good stuff to share.
There's
still
a lot of excitement.
But, yep, outside the coffee, yes, nothing for me today.
Okay.
Please.
Fair enough.
Continue.
I can't wait to zoom to small wins because I just want to gush over the weekend. But we'll get there. First, what we're listening to here at Acoustic Life Studios this week. Now, this week's artist recommendation came from Keith F., and you'll kind of, I think as the show goes on, you'll kind of understand my cheese curds and venison sticks remarks earlier, because everything from today's show is located in the Midwest, and most of it is actually from Wisconsin. So, without further ado, Keith F. recommended that we listen to Corey Chisel, and Keith says this about Corey. He says, I'm a Midwesterner through and through, and Corey has played all over, but keeps his roots in Appleton, Wisconsin, where he consistently works to foster the arts through a number of different projects and festivals. An example of this is a place called The Refuge. It's a 33,000 square foot building that once served as a monastery and now pulls triple duty as an art studio, live music venue, and Chisel's headquarters. I've been listening to Corey for years now, and he has consistently written the type of real, heartfelt, and soulful music that feels like home to me. He has the type of voice that is immediately identifiable, and his guitar style feels understated, but still displays subtle techniques and confidence that is a testament to his years of performing live. I could probably write a book about his songwriting, but I'll just recommend his song, Tennessee. Not the video I included, as what I consider to be a truly perfect song from beginning to end. I just can't say enough about his music and what it has meant to my life. He's also part of a three-man Americana group called Traveler. The other members are Johnny Fritz and Robert Ellis. Their debut album, recorded at The Refuge, is expected in 2018. So just to give you an idea of what Corey Chisel sounds like as a solo performer, I found this great song called I've Been Accused. So let's have a listen and a look at him performing it right now.
I've been accused of loving you for so long now that I can see where I've went wrong. Am I an animal? Am I human? Who says that we're moving? And I can see where I've went wrong. Just stay in line. Nobody wants you to leave. Just stay the night, honey. Nobody wants you to leave. You've been abused, and I've seen it. Love ain't like a meaning.
All right, so clearly Corey's the type of player that pours his heart and soul into pretty much any song that he plays. And that's just him playing solo. He also is kind of a bit of a musical shapeshifter of sorts because he plays in a variety of bands and a variety of musical situations, one of which Keith mentioned, and that is the Americana group Traveler. Now, Traveler is made up of Corey Chisel, Johnny Fritz, who's actually from Missoula, if I'm not mistaken. He's either from Missoula, Montana, or lives in Missoula, Montana, and Robert Ellis, who we've actually featured before on Acoustic Tuesday because he is the same Robert Ellis that played with Courtney Hartman on the album Dear John. So pretty awesome stuff and cool connections going on here. So just to give you a sense of how Corey interacts with other musicians in a group setting, let's have a listen to Traveler's song, Nobody Makes It Out.
My name is Robert Ellis, this is Johnny Fritz, this is Corey Chisel. We're called Traveler, and this is our first song. It's called Nobody Makes It Out.
Yeah.
Town got me feeling crazy. It only talks to itself. I look around, even nothing's changing. Oh, I wish I could live. Stuck on the tip of your tongue without speaking, never going away. When I was young, I would dream of leaving, but now I don't. Oh, what I know now, what I learned in this one horse town, is that nobody makes it out.
All right, so now that you've heard that, you're probably salivating and saying, okay, where can I find Corey's music? Okay, here's the deal. I selected three albums that I think are a good sampling of Corey's skills, his musicianship, all things good when it comes to music. I think these three albums exemplify Corey's amazing talent. I let me just say the names of the albums, Noah.
Should yeah,
I
please.
Just get there?
Yeah, can you do that?
I'm trying to describe it in such a way because I want you all to feel my excitement. So the first album I want to feature is Death Won't Send a Letter, which features, you'll know it as soon as you see it because it's got this cool portrait on the front, and that's a solo album. Next, we have Old Believers, and that is with his band called The Wandering Sons. Really cool album cover there as well. And also the final album I selected called Tell Me True. Now, I do know that Traveler has played some shows together. That's that trio, that Americana trio. But I can't find any information on an album, and I can't find any information on potential tour dates. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Maybe it's delayed a little bit, but I just think Corey Chisel is a musical treasure that we all should enjoy. So make sure to have a listen to Corey Chisel, and I want to thank Keith F. for recommending that we listen to Corey. Now, Noah and I are always dying to know what you think of the show, so in the comments below, please let us know how the show's going for you today. In fact, include where you're tuning in from, because we just like to know where all you guitar geeks are tuning in from. And, of course, while you're at it, ask yourself the most important question: have I subscribed to the Acoustic Life YouTube channel yet? Because if you haven't, you absolutely have to, and it's super easy, so it's a bonus. Just click that red subscribe button, and while you're at it, click that little gray bell. That'll give you a notification of each and every new video that gets released, so you can stay in the loop on all the guitar geeky goodness that happens here. And speaking of comments and shout-outs and things, Noah?
Yes?
I know that you spend most of your waking hours looking through the comments, and I know that you spend a large quantity of your weekend pulling and gathering comments that inspire you. And I want you to share some of those.
Well, I don't want to say that I spend the entire weekend pulling comments.
I'm exaggerating.
I just pretty much tell every one of my kids, go find a good comment, bring it back to me. I'm kidding.
Which means Noah actually has an official comment-finding army.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Okay, shall I?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just thought of something real quick. If you guys, you know, when you go to the grocery store, you could like put one kid on produce, one kid on dairy, one kid on like chips and snacks, the other kid on fruits and vegetables, and you still have two kids left over to go like grab a magazine or like a newspaper. You guys could dominate the grocery store in a matter of minutes.
That's good. I thought you were going to say we could just assign a kid an aisle.
Oh, that.
And then that's okay.
That's right. True too.
Some of them aren't quite there yet.
Okay.
But I like the thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, carry on. It was just okay. A random thought I had.
So how about, man, amazing comments. Reading through these last comments and gathering, I'm just blown away, and I got full of all like just warm fuzzies just because the interaction and you viewers out there just participating and sharing your small wins and guitar geek, you know, wins. And it's just really awesome. And so I just wanted to say thank you for your comments. First one comes from Paul R., who says, I purchased the G7th capo at Guitar Center in Hollywood, and it's nice. A really great capo. Thank you for suggesting it.
Oh, heck yeah. Awesome.
Next one comes from David D. And now, I didn't choose this comment because he references me. It's mainly the latter part of his comment, but nevertheless, he says, okay, Noah deserves an all-time best sport award. And I think maybe he looks like the late night host Stephen Colbert.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
But then what he goes on to say is, another great episode. Always end my time watching smiling.
That's awesome.
And it's such a simple thing, but I love it. Now, Tony, there were so many amazing comments in the last couple weeks. I'm actually on our channel, and I'm just going to scroll through some, okay?
Oh, cool.
So Redbeard Vagabond is tuning in from Washington.
That's a great screen name, by the way.
Courthouse, Washington Courthouse, Ohio.
Cool.
Is he actually at the courthouse?
Well, no, because remember we had this discussion before.
We did.
That's the actual name of the place.
Okay. Okay.
It's not like, you know, I'm on the steps of the Washington courthouse. It's like, that's the town.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't remember that. David S. says, fun show. I will share with my guitar geek friends.
Awesome.
Thank
you.
I'm a Navy vet and play mostly with other old vets.
Oh, very cool.
Brandon B. This one is important because, you know, Tony, you mentioned Sweetwater.
I did, yeah.
And many, many, many comments came in of just folks having just a good experience with Sweetwater.
That's so cool. I mean, I feel a little behind the curve on that. It was my first Sweetwater experience. I'm curious to see what people said.
Yeah, well, Brandon here says, I've always had positive experiences ordering from Sweetwater. They try to take care of their customers and will go out of their way to help you if they can. Now, I will say this. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, he's my brother-in-law, but it's my wife's sister's husband.
Okay, I think I'm following.
They followed us up here to Montana at one point, and then they relocated to Indiana because he took a job at Sweetwater.
Oh, cool.
So it was that much of a thing for him that he moved his family to Indiana to work at Sweetwater.
Wow.
Okay, Integrity says, good show like always, watching from Long Island, New York. GW says, good morning from Tacoma, Washington.
Right.
Howard T says, love this channel. Look forward to each Tuesday. KJ Gas, hello from Arkansas. And Mendez says, love the show. Keep it up, my brothers. Robert J, hello all. Joining the festivities from Florida West Coast.
Cool.
Howdy from Tyler, Texas. Haven't missed a show in over a year. And that's Terry T.
That's awesome.
And it just goes on and on and on. And I will throw this one in there. Poi Boy Rider says, hashtag ask Matt, how is the album coming along? And that is a great question. I could keep going, Tony, but yeah. I encourage other Acoustic Tuesday viewers, jump in the recent Acoustic Tuesday comments. And it's just so much fun. And, I mean, you can almost feel the guitar geeky camaraderie. And it's just so awesome.
Now, I do have a critique of you reading the comments, Noah, if you're open to it right now.
A critique?
Yeah.
I'm open.
I think you purposely chose comments from all of the warmer states, because when I woke up this morning, it was like minus 20. Was that a conscious thing that you did?
Maybe it was a subconscious thing.
Okay.
Because I agree. And you're like right in the foothills.
Yeah.
I'm like more in the plains.
You were colder than me this morning,
and
I think.
We were negative 26.
Man. And your car started?
Well, we have a garage.
Oh, that's where we differ.
So it was great. So the garage was like negative 10.
Yeah. Man, when negative 10 feels warm, then you know it's cold out. You know it's very cold outside. Well, thank you for reading those, Noah. And, yes. And I'll just second the thanks to you Acoustic Tuesday viewers. Gosh, we just appreciate the heck out of you. You all just leave such kind comments. I love the discussion that's generated in the comments, the questions asked, the small wins celebrated. It's a good place. And as Noah mentioned, it's just, you know, I know when I go on YouTube, seldom do I read the comments. Acoustic Tuesday comments are like no other. So please, if you haven't left one before, go ahead and leave one. Just, you can even say, hey, first time commenter, you know, love the show, or man, Noah's hair looks stellar today, whatever the case may be. But really, the Acoustic Tuesday comment section is something that is just full of all sorts of good feels. So make sure to check that out. Now, I do want to move on down the Guitar Geek list and share with you a set of strings that I'm experimenting with. For you Acoustic Tuesday viewers who have been watching for a while, you do know that I love experimenting with strings. Now, I have kind of found the two sets of strings that I really dig. The first, my go-to strings are the Santa Cruz Parabolic Tension strings. Love those. And I've also been really digging the Ernie Ball aluminum bronze strings. So I'm saying this because it's hard for me to stray away from what I love and what's kind of the tried and true strings for me. But I figured, you know, just for the sake of experimentation and just for sharing with you my experiences with other strings, I figured, you know, I got to try these other strings out. So this week I tried the GHS Vintage Bronze strings. And I have been familiar with GHS strings for the longest time. When I first worked for Weber Mandolins back in 2008, when I moved out to Montana, we used GHS strings on all of our mandolins exclusively. I used GHS strings on my Dobro for years and years. And I've never tried them on a steel string acoustic flat top guitar. So I thought, now's my time, now's my chance. And now the reason I chose the vintage strings were because of the unique alloy that they use. It's an 85-15 copper zinc alloy. And it's something that I don't think I've ever seen before, or maybe I've tried something but never really actually known what the alloy was. And it intrigued me because they promote, or they say, that it offers a really nice mellow tone. And that's exactly what I found when I tried them. In fact, upon opening the strings, they're in kind of a plasticky foil type bag. And then within the package, each string is individually wrapped in a little plastic envelope that's sealed, airtight. So in terms of freshness, I think GHS goes the extra mile in terms of making sure that their strings are fresh, whether you buy them and then use them months later, or you buy them and use them immediately. Now, as I mentioned, these strings brought out a wonderful, lush woodiness out of my guitar, and I chose to put them on my Martin HD35. They're kind of they're more of a gold color than kind of a tan color, and I believe that's, of course, because of the alloy, and I really just dig. I feel like it's a very well-balanced tone and a very mellow tone, as they mentioned, but I will add this to the mellow description. I think the strings retain a clarity, a kind of a top-end cleanness that I don't normally find in a string that's positioned as a mellow string. A lot of times I'll get a mellow string, think like a retro string or a nickel-wound string, and I feel like some of that edginess is gone and it's more of a fuzzy sound. Whereas these were nice and clear, but really accentuated the woodiness and the character of this particular guitar. So I just think they're a great set of strings. If you're looking for kind of a string that's not so brash, not so bright, and really pulls out the earthy tones of your guitar, I think it's a great string to experiment with. I was really pleasantly surprised. If you're digging on that earthy, woody tone, give the GHS Vintage Bronze strings a try. And of course, I think, you know, I didn't look up the exact price that I paid for them. I want to say they were, I want to say they were maybe under 10 bucks. They're in that range of 8 to 12. Let's put it that way. So I was pretty happy with the result. So cheers to GHS for making a great set of strings. And again, earthy, woody tone, organic tone. If those words kind of excite your guitar geek ears, give the strings a shot. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, much as I was. Now, Noah, I know that I'm a guitar geek when I can talk about a set of strings for almost an hour.
Okay.
But I know that you like to read from our very own Acoustic Tuesday viewers how they know they're a guitar geek. So would you share some of those you know you're a guitar geek wins with us, please?
I can.
Well, thanks, man.
So I'm going to share two with you today. One of them is one that I came up with.
You did?
I did.
I can't wait to hear this.
I came up with one, and I don't think it's a real zinger, but we'll see. We'll okay. see. It's like one of those muted, like, okay, yeah, that is pretty guitar geeky. Maybe. You will tell me, okay?
Okay.
But
okay.
First, let me share the moniker that you enjoyed so much, the Redbeard Vagabond.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah.
I just picture Vikings on ships.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Who says, you know you're a guitar geek when the guitars you contemplate buying cost more than the vehicle you drive every day. And he lists what he has. He has a 1993 Chevy S10.
Those are great pickups.
Yeah, the S10s are great pickups. But that was...
I went to the car. I concur with
that's
that,
the thing.
That statement.
That's the thing. Okay, can I share mine?
I would love to hear yours, because I don't think you told me this yet.
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I know I'm more of a bass player, but I do dabble in guitar, and I'm thinking, what is something geeky that I do? And one thing I do is, if my guitar or bass tuners are nickel-plated, is that generally how it goes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I tune with my microfiber cloth because I don't want my fingerprints all over my tuning knobs. And especially when I'm performing and the lights on the stage, I want those reflections like shining people in the eyes to be like, nice. You know, I don't want like thumbprints and stuff. Is that geeky?
That's okay. We can unpack this if
okay.
you want to.
Okay.
It is geeky. And I think it's a great tip. Because that's one of the that's one of my biggest pet peeves. And I'm sure it's a little bit more apparent on bass tuners because they're much larger.
That's true.
But even like my new custom Bourgeois that I got is beautiful. And not that, I'm sorry, the Thompson, I'm confusing guitars. I guess you know you're a guitar geek when you're confusing guitars. But my Thompson has Waverly, nickel-plated Waverly tuners. And after you tune, it's just a big fat thumbprint right there.
Mm-hmm.
But what a brilliant idea. Just
yeah.
just cut it off at the pass. Grab yourself your polishing cloth and go ahead and tune up. Boom.
So, can I rephrase?
Yeah.
So, you know you're a guitar geek when you use your polishing or microfiber cloth to tune your guitar.
I love it.
All right.
You're working your way up the guitar geek ladder.
All right.
As we speak.
Another rung.
Actually, I think you're going to share something that puts you a couple rungs up here in a second. But
okay.
But before we get there, it is my honor to ask you to do a big favor. And that is to please share the Acoustic Tuesday show with your guitar geek friends. The whole point of Acoustic Tuesday is to get guitar geeks to unite every single Tuesday, celebrate our guitar geekiness, and inject our guitar journeys with some much needed positivity. Even if your guitar journey is already super positive, share the Acoustic Tuesday show. Participate in the Acoustic Tuesday show because every guitar journey needs positivity always. It helps fight off the guitar rut and it helps you just have fun with your instrument. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point of getting into the guitar in the first place is to have fun, be fulfilled, share guitar geekiness. And that's the whole point of the Acoustic Tuesday show. So bottom line, please share this guitar geeky show with your friends. We would appreciate it. And I think it's just one of those guitar geek. If guitar geeks had a checklist, that would be one of the items on the checklist. So just check that box. Share the Acoustic Tuesday show. Please. Noah?
Yes.
Let's go to small wins.
Let's do it.
I'm really...
Hold on. Okay, now you can. Now you can talk.
Thanks for cutting me off there.
You're welcome.
I know that the small win introduction was playing, but I'm really having a hard... Like, I wish I could just take a straight line A to B to the point I'm trying to make, but I kind of try and dance around it in a myriad of different ways. And
we're gonna work on that.
Taking me longer than usual.
We're gonna work on that. So I do got some small wins for you today from Acoustic Tuesday viewers, and ourselves. But I gotta make the comment. It was kind of a long weekend, and Friday. Okay, I feel like Friday ended up being a crazy day because. My kids, our school district, actually closed down for a snow day. Okay? And when Montana schools close down for a snow day, you know it's like a deal. And then it's a whole story. My second oldest had his winter formal and the dance was canceled and he was bummed. But anyways, I just feel like maybe I'm a little off my normal flow because I feel like because they ended up staying home and then going to school late today, like I've been away for like 2 weeks. I'm going to get on to small wins.
Okay. We'll help each other through this,
yes,
Noah.
Please help me as well.
I'm sure we can do it together.
So my first small win is that I'm here today and I'm alive. Okay. First small win comes from Jonathan M., says, I finally got myself a looper pedal to play with.
Oh, cool.
I have pretty much used it every day since and learned quite a bit of jazz-related chords and scales using it.
Way cool. That's a great practice tool. It really is.
You were just talking about using pedals and how it makes you morph your playing and actually play differently and it helps you grow as
it
a player.
It does. I've entered that black hole realm of starting to accumulate pedals.
Yes, you have.
Whitney lost me for a good 2 hours last night.
You have so many pedals that you play your pedals at home, and then I'll use some of your pedals here.
True.
Okay, next small win comes from Jesse H. Small win, this past year has been the wettest, most humid I can remember. I play a Martin 00016 RGCE, and I play a lot outdoors. This fall, she swelled up with a belly almost as big as mine. The Fishman Aura also corroded and failed in the middle of a gig. So, based on Tony's review of a composite acoustics cargo guitar, is that right? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to find a full-size version, a pre-PV composite acoustics 5IMCE model. I absolutely love it. Thanks.
That's so awesome. That's a great small win. You know, I think... Can I just do a quick detour?
It's what you do.
One of the things, you know, I think carbon fiber guitars a lot of times get a bad rap. I do. And I've been guilty of it too. When I first started seeing carbon fiber guitars, I was like, it's never going to sound like wood. I don't even understand. I can't even make the connection of why these are useful. But here's case in point of why they're extremely useful. And through the years, and I've tried a bunch of different carbon fiber guitars now, I'm starting to see the light. There's a great use for them. And now they're making them, they actually sound killer. Close makes a great carbon fiber guitar. Journey makes a great carbon fiber guitar. Composite Acoustics is they're kind of one of the leaders. I think even McPherson is making carbon fiber guitars, but they're so useful in instances like this. If you travel a lot, if you want your guitar to stay stable, and if your climate fluctuates a lot. So all in all, I think that's a great point.
Can't forget Emerald.
What's that?
Can't forget Emerald.
Emerald, thank you. I knew there was another one I was leaving off.
Yeah.
They make some really beautiful stuff, too.
And our last Acoustic Tuesday viewer small win today comes from Keith B., who says, sunshine and 66 here in Columbia, South Carolina, sipping coffee and loving Acoustic Tuesday and geeking out with my brethren. Great show. Small win, just received confirmation to be an acoustic performer and not one, but two of the Hippie Fest festivals held at Lake City, South Carolina, and Case, South Carolina. I'm stoked. Love you guys.
Oh, man. Congratulations. That's so cool. Thanks for hanging out with us as well. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. So there's the small ones from our viewers, Tony.
Well, I've got a whole list.
Okay.
And with the way that I'm beating around the bush today, we might get to them by, I don't know, 2 in the afternoon.
Well, why don't you just dive in? Yeah.
So my first one. So last week's episode of Acoustic Tuesday, I mentioned that I went to the Salt Lake City Tattoo Convention and was walking around and ran into an Acoustic Tuesday viewer named Alfred. And we started chatting guitar. And I found a picture that he actually posted on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I gotta put a face to the name. So here's Alfred and I hanging out at the Salt Lake City Tattoo Convention. We talked tattoos for maybe 3 seconds and immediately went into guitar. So I know indeed that he is a purebred guitar geek. So Alfred, thanks for snapping that picture and sharing it on Facebook. And also thanks for watching Acoustic Tuesday. Now the next picture I wanna share with you is actually of an Acoustic Tuesday artist that we featured, two of them, Robert Bolin and Will Mehring. Now, John B., Acoustic Tuesday viewer John B., recommended that we listen to Robert Bolin and Will Mehring, and he said, if you want a picture of Robert's pre-war Martin dreadnought, I'll go ahead and send that. And as a guitar geek, I was like, I couldn't even get it. I couldn't get the email out fast enough. I was like, please send it. So he did. So here's a quick look at Robert Bolin's beautiful pre-war Martin dreadnought. I wish I could hear it because it just looks, it's just got that, it's worn in all the right places. It looks amazing. So I want to thank John B. for sending that. I thought that was a small win. I love seeing guitars that are just iconic like that. So
and that's
cool.
That's like a guitar geek nugget.
I know.
It's great.
You're a guitar geek when, you know, you're at a house concert and you just are drooling over the performer's guitar.
And you think to take a picture of the pre-war dread to send to someone else.
Mm-hmm,
That's cool.
That's very geeky. Noah, whoops, I dropped my pen.
Yes.
Noah.
Yes.
I'm gonna let you share the small.
Yes, Tony?
Are you excited to share the small win?
I'm very excited.
Okay.
Now, let me say that this isn't just my small win. This is our small win.
Yes.
And so I'm gonna start it off. I'm gonna show a little, what is it?
A hint?
A hint? Well, it's not a hint. It's pretty direct. So I'll just like fly up here for a second. Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Noah got a new T-shirt.
I got a new
Congratulations. T-shirt.
Yeah, that's the surprise. I got a new T-shirt. So, you and I and Levi and the wives went and saw Molly Tuttle perform at the Rialto in Bozeman on Saturday night.
It was so cool.
And it was phenomenal.
I was just riding the good feels from that. The show was amazing.
Yeah.
So, just can I geek out for 1 second? I'm not going to steal your thunder, I promise.
No. It's our thunder.
So, she was playing her pre-war dread, which sounded awesome. And I just have to make a comment, because I've listened to Molly's EP Rise on Spotify, and I just bought a copy. I've listened to it for some time, so I'm familiar with all those songs. She came out, and I'll tell you what, her voice sounded just like the record. Her voice was pristine, exact. It was such a treat to sit and just bask in beautiful acoustic music. It was unreal. Sorry,
yeah.
That was
what I wanted. And the band, I mean, the band was great too. The new lineup she has for her tour. There's so many amazing things.
And she played new songs?
Yes, she played her new album's coming out next month.
Yes.
April, and the tunes are just amazing. And the band, of course, was really amazing. But I couldn't help but making the comment to you, you know, leaning over and saying, she doesn't need a band.
I know.
It's like, she could just play solo.
And it's as if she heard you, because she played a couple solo songs.
She sure did.
During the set, and it was just like, it brought the house down.
You know how people yell out sometimes at concerts when there's a lull in the volume and they're like, I love you, Molly, or something like that? I think I'm turning into a true guitar geek, because the thought occurred to me, I should yell out, I love your tone.
Yeah.
I actually thought about yelling that out.
It sounded so good. It sounded so good.
So, Tony.
Yes.
After the show.
Yes.
She actually stepped out into the foyer area where they had a few pieces of merch left. And she was out there with her bass player, Sam.
Yeah.
Was it? Is it Sam?
Sam Howard.
Howard. Yeah. Sam Howard. So that's where I got the shirt. I got this cool little limited edition. That's what it said on the paper. It's a limited edition Molly Tuttle pin with like some mountains and a river coming down. That's cool. We both got a disc that she signed.
She signed, which was super awesome.
And you were bold enough to ask for a picture, which I thought was awesome.
I was.
So can
I
share?
Normally do that.
Can I share the picture?
You can.
Okay. So your wife was gracious enough to take this picture for us. Boom. So here we are out in the foyer of the Rialto. And your wife said, I'll send you a copy of this. And I was like, cool. Heck yeah, I want a copy of that. So she sends it to me. And immediately, like without even a moment's hesitation, I grab the picture, I crop it, and text back to you guys and say, oh, let me just make a little adjustment here. Perfect. And this is what I send back to you.
And I thought it was brilliant because it literally looks just like you two. I was cracking. I was like, this is amazing. Noah's good. He's a quick thinker, ladies and gentlemen. A quick thinker.
Oh, man. So, goodness gracious, Tony. I feel like I can ride off that experience for quite some time.
I was so excited. You know, looking back, I came in and I was like, Noah, I don't think I talked to Molly at all. Because here's the scenario. Okay, first of all, I'm getting nervous talking about it even. I was so nervous to meet Molly because she's a guitar hero. I mean, she is one of my guitar heroes. I think her playing is fantastic. I think just her songwriting, which I don't think it's talked about enough. I think her songwriting is amazing.
And she doesn't know us from Adam.
I know. And we're standing there, and I was just like, hi. I was like such a fanboy. And then after we left, I'm in the car. We're driving home, and I'm talking to Whitney, and I'm like, I had so many questions I want to ask her, and nothing came out. It was just kind of like a, hi, thanks for playing Bozeman.
Yeah.
And then I started talking to Sam, because I know Sam. I played with Sam before. Tony Furtado came through Bozeman. This is some years ago. And Tony and I linked up, and I was able to play some songs with them on stage. And Sam was the bass player when Tony was here in Bozeman. So there was kind of this cool connection, so I wanted to catch up with Sam for a second. But I ended up talking to Sam for pretty much the whole time. And then I left, and I was like, I just was face-to-face with my guitar hero, and I asked nothing because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
So you know you're a guitar geek
guys who came up after us, they weren't shy.
Mm-mm.
They just rolled up and were just like, so you know Billy Strings?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, so you guys used to be roommates and stuff?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but not anymore.
Yeah.
We don't live together anymore. It was just funny.
I love it. It was a great weekend. It was so cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're done. That's...
Well, no, we're not. We have to continue on our Wisconsin theme. So let me just run down the thing. So I was going to say Wisconsin only, but really this is a Midwestern-themed episode. Hence the talk about cheese curds, venison sticks, cold glasses of milk. I grew up in Illinois, in the Midwest.
And the skadoosh.
And Noah and I are practicing for the show today, and he's like, hey, Wisconsin, is that where that monster, the skadoosh, is from? And I'm like, Noah, what the hell is a skadoosh? And I just look at him and I'm like, are you talking about the hodag? And he's like, yeah, the hodag, the skadoosh. Yeah. So anyways, I don't know. Maybe the skadoosh lives somewhere else. So far, our trivia question was based on Gibson, which was their home was Kalamazoo, Michigan. Corey Chisel's from Wisconsin. GHS Strings is located in Battle Creek, Michigan. What else? Oh, and onto the Guitar Signals, which both come from Wisconsin. In fact, this first Guitar Signal is going to be a pivotal moment in Acoustic Tuesday history. This first Guitar Signal comes from Wautoma, Wisconsin. This is brought to you by Gary T. And there's actually a Guitar Geek tip embedded in here, but we'll get to that here in a second. And Gary T. says this about his Guitar Signal. When taking this photo, I became aware that my bride may use it against any future purchases. I'll risk it. From left to right, our first, a 1982 Carlos DM, my first and only guitar until about 5 years ago. This one is in unplayable condition, but it's kept on the wall for sentimental reasons. Next, a Martin Singolo 28 VS, also known as Rosie, the sweetest of all flowers. We're going to skip the one that he's holding, because he's going to save the best for last. Next, a Martin from 2006. I'm not sure of the model, name, or number, but it is marked custom and made in the USA. It has an HPL back and sides and a laminate neck. This is my campfire guitar. She was cheap, but holds a tune like no other. And last, on the right-hand side, a Martin 00017 SM, also known as Missy Ann. Now, onto the one that he's holding. This is the one that makes me feel like the waiter dating the supermodel. I am holding a Preston Thompson Parlor II with mahogany back and sides and a tunnel redwood top, cut in the late 1800s and used in train tunnels until the early 2000s. I call her Ginger. Think Ginger from Gilligan's Island, not Ginger Baker, for her red top and wild side. Someday my time attack will allow me to be worthy of this fine collection, and maybe someday Mrs. T will allow the guitar arsenal to grow. And I thought, looking at this picture, I'm like, there's actually a hidden lesson in here. I want you all to notice Gary T's smile in this picture. And I want you to remember this smile, because whenever you ask your significant other to buy another guitar, I want you to flash this very smile, because they will no doubt agree. I mean, look at how happy this guitar collection makes Gary T. I'm pretty sure Mrs. T will approve a guitar purchase in the future. And Gary, if you need help, just tell her I said it was okay. Totally fine. Our next guitar arsenal comes from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I mean, again, we're living deep in the heart of America's dairyland here. And this this guitar arsenal is brought to you by Scott G. He says, I started playing guitar again in 2016 after many years because, well, life happens. Pictured with me is my wife, Deborah, who is an awesome supporter of me and my guitar geekiness. She does not play guitar, but you know what? She's a supporter, and that's super important as well. From left to right, I'm holding a Taylor GS Mini E with Hawaiian Koa top, back, and sides. This is my camping and couch go-to guitar right now. Next is my Martin DCPA-4 Sitka spruce top with Sapelli back and sides and Fishman electronics, which is my primary playing guitar. Next is the first guitar I purchased when I started playing again 3 years ago, a Yamaha FG730S with Sitka spruce top with a cherry sunburst and rosewood back and sides. On the far right, Deborah is holding the latest guitar purchase that I absolutely fell in love with, a Guild Model 120E with African mahogany top, back and sides, and Guild Fishman AP1 with Sonicore pickup. Deb purchased this for me after seeing my reaction while playing it in a guitar store across the street from our motel after looking at campers and RVs all day while attending a camping and RV show. We didn't purchase any new camping accessories at the camping show, but returned home with a new guitar. Hashtag, you know you're a guitar geek when. Can't wait to play this one around the campfire. Deborah is my biggest guitar geek supporter and wants me to purchase one new guitar each year. Wow, am I lucky or what? And with that statement, I'm going to say that that is right in line with the Gary T. Guitar Geek stamp of approval. When your significant other says you can buy a new guitar, one new guitar every year, that to me deserves a Gary T. stamp of approval. So with that, we just found a new thing here on Acoustic Tuesday. We kind of stumbled into this.
Say it again.
You mean the Gary T. Guitar Geek stamp of approval?
There you go.
Wait a minute, Noah.
Yes.
Are you talking about the Gary T. Guitar Geek stamp of approval?
The very one.
I just love that. That smile, it just wraps up all the good feels of being a guitar geek. So thank you both Gary and Scott for sharing your guitar arsenals with us. If you're sitting there thinking, man, I want to try and get a Gary T. Guitar Geek stamp of approval. I want to share my guitar arsenal on Acoustic Tuesday. It's super easy. Get yourself a guitar arsenal shirt. There's a link right beneath this YouTube episode. Go ahead and put that shirt on. Snap a picture with you amongst all of your guitars. And step number three, please submit it at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link right in that top menu. Click it and you can go ahead and submit your picture, describe your entire guitar arsenal, and you'll be featured on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. And I should also mention this, for any of the show notes, for any sort of links or anything that I mentioned today during this Acoustic Tuesday episode, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT82. All of the links and show notes will be there. All right. Wow, the goodness keeps coming, and it's kind of crazy because I'm getting more excited as we go through the show today.
Yeah.
And I think my head's going to explode here at some point.
I'm pretty excited, yeah.
So this next item, it really, I need to lead up to this with a story. So back On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 74, we featured a brilliant artist named Eric Skye. Just a fantastic flat picker, fantastic finger picker, fantastic jazz guitarist, fantastic folk guitarist. I mean, he is a guitar geek. He is a guitar geek, plain and simple. And we filmed that show just prior to the NAMM show, which happens in January. And our buddy, Acoustic Tuesday correspondent Matt Chalka from St. Louis, actually went to NAMM, which was so cool because he was kind of giving me the text updates. And at one point in the show, Matt, he needed to visit the lobby. He needed to escape from the hubbub of the show. And as Matt was walking out of the conference hall, Eric Skye was walking in. And Eric said, "Tony, thanks so much for putting me on the Acoustic Tuesday show. I really appreciate it." And Matt kind of smiled and he said, "You're welcome. My name's Matt. I work at Eddie's Guitars in St. Louis." And Eric replied, "Oh, you're the other bearded guy that does guitar stuff on YouTube." And I just thought that that was a cool moment that guitar geeks can share. And it leads me to share with you, Eric Skye, as I mentioned, is just phenomenal. And he was kind enough and generous enough with his time to dig in a little bit deeper. We asked him three Acoustic Life questions, and he so graciously sat down and filmed himself answering these questions. And I think you'll be very surprised at what his favorite piece of gear, his life-changing piece of gear is. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Eric Skye and his Acoustic Tuesday 3x3.
Hey there, this is guitarist Eric Skye coming at you to answer the three Acoustic Life questions. So number one is about artists that are under the radar that I'm currently listening to and recommend. I'm currently obsessed with an album called 1-2, and it's by Jenna Moynihan and Mari Chambule, if I'm saying that right. They are a duo out of New England, kind of the hotbed for what I think is known as the new traditional scene. So it's sort of contemporary and traditional, original Celtic fiddle and harp. Anyway, it's just, I'm a huge fan of duo records, and this one is one of the best I've heard in years. It's just really, really great. And so I'm currently obsessed with it. I'm transcribing it and I'm trying to learn some stuff from that. So I highly recommend that record. It's just a beautiful record. Second question, out of all your acoustic guitars, which one is your favorite and why? Well, I don't have very many guitars. Up until very recently, I only had two, and they were exactly the same guitar, just sort of one's a backup. And surprise, surprise, my favorite guitar is my signature model guitar from the Santa Cruz guitar company called the 00 Skye. And this came out over 8 years ago now. So, and in that time, it's really been the only guitar that I've had in the house and used on records and tours and videos and whatnot. And it probably more or less always will be. It's just, it's my voice, and people can learn about that by going to the Santa Cruz Guitar Company website, and you can kind of click on that guitar, but it's just, you know, I just really like having mainly just one guitar, and it just allows me to just kind of focus on music, so I really don't have the gear bug very much. Okay, so number three. Speaking of gear, what piece of gear changed your life or your acoustic guitar life? For me, unquestionably, it would be the capo. Probably got my first capo when Jimmy Carter was in office, but really I would say in the last 15 years or so, it's become indispensable. I mean, I honestly couldn't do a gig without a capo. So in some ways it makes things easier, in some ways it makes things harder, but it just allows me to do things that I really just couldn't otherwise do. So for example, one of the ways that I might use it in a sort of a jazz context is to play in a key like B flat, which doesn't really have too many open strings, but by capoing on the third fret, as I am right now, I can play, sort of physically play something like Stella by Starlight or something. I'm sort of physically playing it in G, but you're hearing it in B flat. Right? And so that allows me to get a lot of open strings and really get voicings that I couldn't get unless I had like a foot long index finger or maybe used a different tuning. So in some ways it makes things easier, but in some ways it makes things harder because as you go up the neck. Of course, you start thinking in parallel keys and stuff. So anyway, it's a huge part of the way I approach the instrument, and it's just absolutely indispensable. All right, that's all I know. Cheers to Tony and all you guitar geeks out there.
Huge thanks to Eric again for taking out the time to do that, and I just thought his view on the capo was so cool. I think the capo oftentimes gets a bad rap. People say, oh, you know, using a capo is cheating. And here's a great example of an extremely accomplished guitar player saying, hey, the capo actually changed my life because it allows me to do certain things that I otherwise wouldn't be able to do. So very cool. And again, I'm just going to keep thanking Eric because I just think it's so cool that, you know, a guitar player as busy as Eric took the time out to be a guitar geek with us. So thanks again, Eric. We really appreciate it. All right, Noah, we're almost to the end here, but we do have to revisit our guitar geek trivia. Here was your question. In what year was the Gibson Dove first manufactured? A, 1960, B, 1962, C, 1967, or D, 1973? Well, I'm happy to say that if you answered B, 1962, you are absolutely correct. The Dove was first made in 1962 in Kalamazoo, Michigan, based on the Martin D-Style Dreadnought. It was Gibson's second square-shouldered Dreadnought guitar, with the first being the Hummingbird introduced in 1960. Pretty awesome guitar geek Gibson trivia there. And with that, Noah, we have officially placed the Acoustic Tuesday episode 82 leftovers in a Ziploc bag. We've taken all the air out, we've zipped it up tight, and we're about to put Acoustic Tuesday episode 82 in the fridge for later consumption. How'd I do?
Wow. Well, see, I remember one time we discussed like kind of tag teaming that,
yeah,
and seeing what we come up with. But
yeah,
you just start and you just go.
I just keep getting these random thoughts.
It was a good one. That was it. That had no hint of bedtime or warm milk or waking up or anything.
Well, I mean,
good job.
I probably should have wrapped in the whole America's Dairyland theme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've taken Acoustic Tuesday 82 out to the pasture. We've fed it its grains or alfalfa. What do cows even eat?
Yeah, alfalfa.
We've produced the finest cheese curds and cheese sticks that we could ever do.
We've also
got an Acoustic Tuesday episode 82, a hunting license, put it up in a deer stand, and lo and behold, we can enjoy some venison jerky as well.
Wow. That was two of them.
Yeah. I think I'm spent. All right, with that, Acoustic Tuesday 82 does come to a close. I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Thank you for being a guitar geek, and thank you for spreading the word about Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit AcousticLife.tv. There's a bunch of guitar geeky goodness waiting there for you. And before I let you go today, let's take a sneak peek into next week. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, it's going to be a bit of a bluegrass bonanza. We're going to feature a band, we're going to feature a documentary, and a very important way to make your chords leaner, meaner, and cleaner. So make sure to catch next week's episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Thank you again so much for joining us today. And with that, Guitar Geeks Unite. We'll see you next week.